Once again, we are blessed to have you with us this morning. We're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. We're going to start. Hopefully, you'll have your Bibles there and open as we will follow along with us. If you notice also in the church bulletin, we have a spot there in the back of the bulletin that you can take notes. We hope that you will jot down some of these verses, and hopefully you can take them home, reading and applying them throughout the week. And as you do so, I want to remind you of some of the messages that we have covered this month. We've all been, all of these messages have been working together to come to a climatic point, if you will, today. And why is it that I should be thankful? Why is it that I can be thankful for the cross? And that is the whole gist of the month, this month that we were looking at the cross and all that Jesus has done for us in and through His death upon the cross. Now, if you remember, the first message was the cross necessary? And we found out that yes, because of our sin and because of the brutal, violent death of the Lord Jesus, of a perfect and holy and righteous God, it was necessary in order to pay for our sin, but then also to bring forgiveness and eternal life to those who had no hope. Secondly, the second message was living daily with the cross in view. And our challenge in that message was, as we were reminded, that God has a solution for our guilt. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. He has a solution for our guilt. He offers unconditional forgiveness to the repentant sinner. And as believers, we are to daily receive forgiveness from God and to daily forgive others, as this defines living in view of the cross. And then the third message was, the devil is defeated. Christ Jesus came, He died on the cross, and He conquered our greatest enemy, destroying death, hell, and the grave, and binding Satan and limiting of what he can and cannot do. And this gives us the ability to overcome sin in our daily lives today. And today we're going to be talking about who is worthy of our thanks. Now, in all of these messages, I present these messages with the idea that you're going to be able to build on these with me. And some of you may be thinking, well, I was sick one week or I missed it. Well, guess what? All you have to do is to go to our church website, Lindsay Lane Baptist Church, and you'll find all the messages compiled right there. The sound guy's up there, Brother Kurt, he takes the messages on jump drive. He spends a great deal of time of cutting out all the dead space and compiling it all together for you so that you can go back and you can listen to those messages that you may have missed if you go to our church website. And it's all right there for you. Praise the Lord for that. I'm excited about that, thankful for that, and glad that you have another resource. Now, if I ever hear that you just decide you're going to stay home and listen to me online, I will be at your door. Don't you do that. Now, hopefully you'll have some pumpkin cake and coffee waiting for me, but I'm coming over. We're going to have to talk if you stay home and just listen to it online, because the fellowship is necessary. The fellowship that we have together, that we are together, is necessary. And you heard in all the music this morning, He is worthy of our praise. And if He's worthy, then He's worthy of us being here at every opportunity and every chance that we have to be together to worship the Lord Jesus. Amen? Okay. Now, I wasn't trying to scare you to say amen. I was just hoping that would be an enthusiastic agreement, okay? Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name. When we look at the thoughts that I have outlined for you today, the greatest figure in history, we all have something to be thankful for. And then lastly, Christ is worthy of our praise. These are the three thoughts that we're going to talk on today. And once again, as I'm in a thought process of pulling all of these messages together, I wanted us to come to a place and a point today that as we get ready to celebrate the holiday season of Thanksgiving, I want us to realize is that Thanksgiving really is designed for God's people. It is something that as God's people that we should be and will be the most thankful of all people. And that thankfulness comes from the cross of Calvary. That thankfulness comes because of the demonstration of God's love, the demonstration of his concern, the demonstration of his care and concern for his creation, his people. And when we hear, as Brother Mike had read in the book of Psalm this morning, that the Lord God has called us the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand, it means that they are the very first thing on his mind, the most important to him, and he gives the very best to them. And folks, I'm telling you, what greater God is there ever that has ever been heard of or spoken of that would give all that he has so that we might have joy? Every other pagan god, every other false god was always designed in such a way, in the figment of man's mind, is that he demands, he demands, he demands, he demands. And that's what happens to and from a false god. They demand everything and give nothing. That's what the world has been described as in Scripture. It will consume all of our resources, and it will steal our joy, our peace, and our hope. But yet, when we come to the Lord Jesus, he said, oh, those that are trying to save your life will lose it. For those who lose your life, you find it. Well, how does that make sense? When we give all that we have and all that we are to the Lord Jesus, he fills us to capacity and overflowing. Amen? We have so much to be thankful for. And so sometimes people will ask, well, Pastor, I don't really feel too thankful. Well, folks, I am just glad and praise the Lord that when he was coming to the cross and kneeling in the Garden of Gethsemane, suffering and knowing all that he would suffer the day next coming, that he just simply didn't say, well, God, I don't feel like saving these people. How shallow our excuses become in light of the cross. But more than that, when we neglect to be thankful for what has already been given, what has already been done, what a great tragedy and criminal it is that we ignore the one who is worthy of our lives, our fortune, and all that we have and all that we are, to praise his name. The greatest figure in history. Here's some thoughts that sometimes I think that we fail to remember. Don't you like to see and read about famous figures and historical figures? Isn't it exciting to hear in some of their lives and some of the things that they have accomplished that just really gives a encouragement to what the human spirit can do, as they would say? We're inspired by those who have faced difficult adversities and yet have come through shining as an example to all of us. But yet, do we consider the historical figure of the Lord Jesus? Oh, that's too controversial. I wouldn't say it's controversial as the fact that it is. It's controversial because you're struggling with the true deity of Christ. There's no controversy in that when you know him as your Savior. Amen? There's nothing to be argued or questioned about that, well, did he really exist? Well, according to the Scriptures, if we do not trust and believe that he is, there is no forgiveness of sin. There is no salvation. There is no faith in the Lord Jesus if we do not know that he is. But as one of the greatest historical figures, we see that Jesus' death on the cross has gained him, by the Scriptures that we read, a name above all other names. It is a name that we don't take lightly. It's not a name that we use as a byword. It's not a name that we use to curse someone with. It's a name that we hold in reverence. It's a name that we rest our faith upon. It's a name that we live our life for. It's a name that we sacrifice all that we have to honor his name and not our own. It's a name above all others because he went to the cross and claimed victory over death, hell, and the grave. But more than that, he claimed victory over Satan and all his powers and all of his works. And so he has claimed the greatest name because of his faithfulness to the Father, but also the fact that he has proven himself to be the one true God that he claimed to be. Isn't that exciting that when you think of the teachings of the Lord Jesus, that all that he said in Scripture, he fulfilled it? You know, sometimes I think as believers, we take that for granted. we take it for granted of the likelihood, if you will, or the validity, the foundation that we have to build our faith on. It was secured and proven by one historical figure, and his name was Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. Do you realize Nazareth would be as some of the darkest and difficult, crime-ridden places that we could think of today? You don't go to Nazareth for a vacation. They will rob you and they would beat you up. If you got out of there alive, would have been a miracle. It was a rough place. Roughneck people. Oh, some of the most difficult of criminals were there. And yet, Jesus come out of there? Yes, he did. In fact, he was born in this little bitty town. And you know, if it wasn't for the birth of Jesus, Bethlehem would probably have very little significance. But because he is the greatest of all historical figures, we understand what Bethlehem and where it is today. There are millions who will remember his birth and celebrate his birth all across the globe. Millions will sing carols of him coming to the earth to be the babe in the manger, but ultimately we know that he came to die. More books have been written about him, more songs written about him than anyone who has ever lived. Philip Schaff is a Yale professor and a church historian. He has a quote. It says, "This Jesus of Nazareth, without money and arms, conquered more millions than Alexander, Caesar, Muhammad, Napoleon. Without science and learning, he shed more light on all things human and divine than all philosophers and scholars combined. He set more pens in motion than the whole army of great men of ancient and modern times combined." Isn't that true? You know how intriguing it is that at times I think that even as believers, we forget that when we present Jesus, in some people's minds, they think this is a fictitious character. But yet you see in Scripture, you see in historical records, you see in the very recordings in Rome speak of the Lord Jesus. Secular historians speak of Jesus because they saw him, they seen him, they seen and heard the results of all the miracles that he had done. And folks, this is not just a figment of our imagination, as is, it is a one true God who chose to come in the flesh, bearing the difficulties as we had, living under the same conditions that we were, and yet with all of those temptations, all of those struggles, and all of those pains and hurts that he experienced with us, did not keep him from living a perfect and holy life by being the one true Lamb of God as a sacrifice for our sins once and for all. Could you imagine that some of those priests that finally come to the realization is that Jesus just worked us out of a job? You know what? There's going to come a day that Jesus is going to return and he's going to work me out of a job overnight. It's going to happen instantly because there's going to be no need to tell you anything. He's going to tell you it all. Amen? Oh, Lord Jesus, come back and put me out of a job. Amen? You're safe to wish that because when he comes back, we're going home. Number two, we all have something to be thankful for. Psalm 95, verse 1 through 3. "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalm. The Lord is great, is the great God and the great King above all gods." So we've set a significance in that now that we know who is the one that is the object of our thankfulness and our praise. But now let's talk about what is it that we all have something to be thankful for? What is it that we all have something that is important that we give in thanksgiving? Folks, as I try to remind you from week to week, today you are doing the most important thing that you will do this week. You are here to worship the Lord Jesus together as a body of believers, as God has built his church, died for his church, empowered his church, and sent his church. And our main purpose, our only purpose and main focus is that we are here collectively to worship together, as he tells us in the book of Hebrews, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and yet so much more as the day approaching. And he's meaning about the return of the Lord Jesus. The disciples even knew the urgency, even though it was some 2,000 years ago, they understood the urgency is that Jesus is coming again. So therefore, as a church, to not only be busy, to be ready, to be worshiping and looking and welcoming his return. And to do so even more because the times will become more and more difficult. Being a child of God will be even more difficult. Our faith will be challenged even more in all of these ways. So therefore, be together more often and worship. Now, I want to tell you something. One of the most enjoyable things to do is to get together and go downstairs and eat all of your cooking. I'm not going to stand here and lie to you and say, that's a good time. And that's something I can get excited about. How about you? But you know what? As excited as we get about that, we should be even more excited about coming here and encouraging, loving, lifting each other up, but most of all, allowing Jesus to stand upon every one of our shoulders so that the world and our community might know what a great and awesome God, that he is worthy of all of our lives and all that we are and all of our praise. What you're doing here today is the most important thing that you will do this week. We have got to get that in our hearts. Oh, that's what my pastor always tells me. Don't let that stop there. Let it be real to you. Let your week be ruined for not being able to come to God's house, okay? Let it be unfulfilled until you are sick at home and you get online and you want to hear the Word of God so that you can stay in tune. Look forward to the bulletin that gets mailed to you by Brother Rex and Sister Eunice when you're gone to realize you're missed, you're needed, but most of all, you need to be in a place of thankfulness with fellow believers and your church family. We all have something to be thankful for, and it takes us all right back to the cross. We come to the cross not that we're worthy of it. We don't come to the cross because I'm better than you. We come to the cross because we are all in desperate need of his salvation, in desperate need of his forgiveness, in desperate need of a daily dose of his reminder of his love and his strength. Have you taken notice that gratitude is the very basis of worship? Without it, without a thankful heart, we fail to reach the heights of joy that we so desire. Our giving of thanks is a testament to the very being of who God is, his power, his greatness, his glory, his holiness, and for all that he has done as our creator, his love, his willingness to be our sin bearer, and to give himself to die on the cross for you and me. Oh, and you just thought you had to come to church because your pastor told you. You just thought you had to come to church because your parents raised you and made you go to church. You thought that just coming to church was, I'm just doing God a favor? Well, make him feel good today. Oh, all the contrary. We are eternally indebted to our Savior and King. Amen? And there's nobody better to be indebted to today. Amen? J.I. Packer has a quote. He says, we need to discover all over again that worship is natural to the Christian, as it was to the godly Israelites who wrote the Psalms, and that the habit of celebrating the greatness and graciousness of God yields an endless flow of thankfulness, joy, and zeal. Isn't that true? Oh, it's so easy to get down and discouraged when I don't have what I want, I don't get what I want, and then forget to thank the Lord for all that we already have. Amen. And folks, I'm saying that to you more guilty than you are in that right there. You ever get the eye once and you just an itch you can't stop scratching? That's me. That's me. Oh, always wanting something better, always wanting faster, wanting more efficient, more shiny, more new. It's so easy to look around and think, oh, if I could just have more, 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 when God says, well, what about all that we already have? That brings joy. Amen? Did you realize that there is at least 140 references to Thanksgiving in Scripture? Do you think he's trying to get a point across? I get tickled at Sister Sarah Shell that she'll sit. You know she's listening, because if you repeat a word or a phrase multiple times, she starts making little tick marks, and she'll tell you how many times you said it in that message. And I tease her. I said, now, I know some speakers, they keep saying it because they're trying to fill time, but when you hear me say something over and over, I'm trying to get you to remember that. I want to drive that home. So I'm hoping that by God reminding us to be thankful, to be thankful, to be thankful. Maybe the Lord's trying to tell me something 140 times. Amen. Parents, can you relate? Can you relate when you tell your kids something and you preach it for years and then a stranger or somebody at church says it and they go, oh, that's the smartest thing I ever heard. And you're over here going, I've been telling you that for years. You just now get it? Maybe it takes the 140th time to finally sink in, right? Whatever it takes, we're going to keep saying it. Amen? Be thankful. Be thankful. How often do we rush into God's presence with this or that petition or this or that request and with little time or no time for praise and for gratitude? Are you guilty? I am. Oh, we run to the Lord. I've got a need. I got a need. You know what? Sometimes I even caught myself even with Sister Jan this morning. Sister Jan comes in and says, oh, Sister Jan, I need to tell you. You need. Wait a minute. I give her a hug. Hello, how are you doing? I'm just going 100 miles an hour. And I say, oh, you need to do this. You need to do this. And like, I could just say hello and show my appreciation that you're here today, right? Don't we sometimes kind of do that with the Lord? Lord, I got a need and I need it now. You ever see those J.E. Whitworth commercials? It's my money and I want it now. Oh, it sounds terrible when you say that, doesn't it? And yet I'm guilty of doing that to the Lord. What am I doing? I'm forgetting. Are you a grateful person? Do you give thanks to God for His blessings through worship and praise? Do you show the appreciation for those around you through words or thanks and cards and calls and texts and emails? Man, you know what? We've got so many ways to show thankfulness now. I can remember when you had to write a letter and you had to address it a certain way and then put your return address and then put a stamp on it and then find a big metal blue box and drop it in there. You remember those days? Took a lot of effort. Now just pick up that little phone and you can even hear it go. Oh, I love that sound, don't you? It makes you feel like you accomplished something. It sounds like you really threw it a long way. But how simple it is, and yet how forgetful we can be. Last point, Christ is worthy of our praise. You know what I have to say? Revelation chapter 5 is probably one of the most exciting chapters in Scripture. It sets such an incredible view as John is there in the very realm of heaven, watching all of these things go on, the 24 elders that are around the throne and the cherubims that are hovering around him and just crying out, holy, holy, and he's seeing all the host of heaven that are around him. And this was right about the time that the Lord says, who's worthy to take the book? Nobody's worthy. Nobody's worthy. Is there anybody in the earth, under the earth, in heaven? Is there anybody that's worthy to take? And you know what the book was? The Father held a book, and it's sealed with seven seals. And in Roman times, they would take a title deed and they would seal it seven times. And what God the Father was holding was the title deed to all the earth and all creation. And he said, who's worthy to take it? Nobody. John breaks out in tears, devastated. What are we going to do? You realize this means there's no salvation. There's no deliverance from this world, from this flesh. There's no answers. But an angel came by and said, wait, John, don't weep, because the Lion of Judah is here. And he uses a few other titles. And John the Revelator turns around, and I would be thinking, I'm looking for a lion. You know what he saw? A lamb. You know what was significant about that lamb? It had already been sacrificed. Now you're trying to get a picture and say, okay, now Jesus is going to run around heaven looking like a lamb, baying like a lamb? No. But these are pictures of understanding that we're gaining of when you see Jesus, you're going to be reminded of the cross for all eternity. And you know what our response is going to be? Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And you know who said this in the book of Revelation chapter 5? Everyone in heaven. Nobody was over there in the corner texting to a friend. "Yeah, I'll get to you in a minute." Nobody was off doing something else. No hobbies were involved. Nothing else was drawing them away. In fact, they weren't even shining a doorknob or anything in heaven. Everyone was focused because the Lamb is worthy of our praise. And nothing's going to stop that praise. Nothing's going to stop that worship. But more than that, here we see that all evil is going to be removed. But the reality is that God's people, all of creation, all that are around Him, are going to give that praise. Why? Because He is worthy of that praise. He's the only one that's worthy of that praise. No one else could take the book from the hand of the Father because no one else had the deity, had the power, had the holiness, had the righteousness, had anything to do, the honor or whatever is needed, which is all needed, perfectly and wholly encapsulated in Jesus Himself. The significance is that only those that were in heaven are able to give Him that praise. There's a whole host that was still on the earth about to be destroyed for all eternity and would never have the opportunity to raise a praise from their lips in His presence. Him being worthy doesn't automatically mean that you're going to be there. Him being worthy just puts the responsibility and the accountability on us. The book of Revelation is known as the book of the Lamb. Jesus is described as the Lamb all throughout Scripture over and over. Why? Because it takes us back to the cross. It reminds us of what Jesus has done by taking upon Himself the burden of sin, the penalty of our sin, being our sin bearer, but then also conquering sin. You know, there's times that when we come together and worship, and I sit up here in front and I listen as we're singing as a congregation, And there's times that I strain an ear and I can't hear you singing. And there's other times that we hit a favorite song or a hymn and I hear you all singing. That gets exciting. In fact, sometimes you ever go down the road and you got your favorite praise song and comes on the radio, do you kind of crank it up a little bit? Yeah, I enjoy that too. I get excited about worshiping the Lord. But I want you to think for a moment that as we will stand in the presence of God, I'm looking forward to this. No sound system's going to be needed. No PA is going to be needed. No big subwoofers, no big speaker system. But when Jesus arrives, all of heaven's going to erupt in praise. And folks, I believe this is just going to be an eternal thing of a constant barrage, if you will, of worship and praise for all eternity. Because every time we see Him, we're going to be reminded, the reason that I'm here is because of you. The reason that I am, because of you. The reason I live is because of you. Can we realize that today and start now? We can. Absolutely. And folks, when we don't come together and recognize the worthiness of Christ, we're diminishing who He is. We're insulting Him of who He is. When we allow other things to creep in and take precedence over our worship, over our reverence of God, we diminish Him, we insult Him, and it should not be as believers. Nothing else should have our attention. Nothing else should have our loyalty. Nothing else should have our reverence like Jesus. Oh, getting quiet on me. Don't get quiet. We need to search our lives, don't we? We need to search our hearts. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You see the exclamation point behind that? I don't think John was quiet about it. Do you realize that this message come after about 400 years of complete silence? No prophets had been speaking. No prophets had been writing. 400 years of silence. Now John comes on the scene with a message. the one we've all been waiting for, he's here. And you know what he said? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what's the conclusion? Here's the thought I want to leave you with today. If God is for us, Romans 8:31, verse 31 and 32, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all, us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You know what, folks? You're not going to find it all until you understand who is your all. You're not going to receive God's fullness until you realize the fullness of Christ. As long as we keep moving our lives around like a checkerboard and trying to get in just the right position to get everything I want, you're never going to get it. You're never going to be satisfied. You're going to be filled with disappointment over and over and over again. But when you put the right one in the right place, when you put Jesus on the throne, not just in heaven, but in your heart and in your life, in your home, and in the Lord's church. When we put him in the right place, and we say, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you call, that's what we will do. Wherever you send us, we'll go. Whatever you want, I'll give. Whatever you demand to have, it's yours. Because I already have more than I ever will deserve, and I can ever pay you back for. Why? Because we're a people of a thankful heart. So you see, the things that we have no longer mean anything because we already have it all. We already have it all. But until our hearts accept the Word of God, until our souls rest in the Word of God, we're going to be running around fighting and fear and, oh, I've got to protect myself. Let Him protect you. Why? Because He who has come to save you, who can condemn you? Think about it for a minute, child of God. When you stand before the Lord in judgment, who's going to judge you? The one that died for you. The one that you accepted as your Savior. The one that you confessed your sin, and He already knows all that is there. That already is taken care of it. The one that's going to punish is your Father. So there is no fear, is there? What are you thankful for today? Has the Lord Jesus been the center of your praise? I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I want to challenge you. There are times that in life we may doubt our faith. We may doubt our own good works. We may even doubt our future. But people, I ask you, you should never doubt the heart of God. As a thankful people, we reflect on what Jesus has already done. We're not demanding Him to do something else. You know, folks, I've heard people that are trying to come and be faithful to the Lord's house. They say, Well, give me a reason why I should come. My goodness, there's an eternity of reasons already why you should be. So it's not so much me trying to sell you as it is just acknowledging what already is. Amen? We're going to sing a song of invitation this morning. I want to challenge your hearts today. Maybe you just need to come up here today and thank the Lord. Maybe that's something you haven't done in a while. We've jarred your mind and reminded you of a few things. Whatever it may be, won't you come and give the Lord first place in your life?